On this episode of the BrewAuthority.com 5-Minute Beer Break.
We should set up a blind tasting, really, to see if this is a mental taste coming into your, or if it's real. I mean, I'm not saying you're not tasting it.
No, I totally agree. I think that's a great idea, and I think the next time that we're together and can record something, we should do that. You pour them out and blindfold me.
It'd be interesting. You probably would pick up. You are very perceptive, though, and very discerning. So maybe you would notice the canning, but maybe not.
Well, I'm always just looking for something to complain about. That's really all it boils down to. Hello from New York State. This is the New York Brew Authority's 5-Minute Beer Break with the BrewAuthority.com editor, Blake. Me, Tom. I'm the guy who likes beer. And we're joined this week again by our Rochester correspondent, Matt. Matt, happy to have you in the house.
Thank you.
And Blake, as always, very very happy to be doing a sampling with you this evening.
Excellent.
We'll talk a little bit about where you guys have been. Matt, you're on the show, so that means you two must have made a trip. what are we talking about tonight, guys?
Yeah, well, Matt and I were recently in the Cooperstown area. And we did a part of the, I guess what you'd call the Cooperstown Beverage Trail. And that there's actually a website for that. And we hit 3 breweries, Butternuts, Omegang, and we also visited the Cooperstown Brewing Company.
And Butternuts is in Garrettsville, which is how far outside of Cooperstown is that?
It was about a 30-minute drive, I'd say, to Cooperstown. And it's actually pretty interesting because there's no direct road to get between the two. It's kind of this maze of back roads. And we actually, on our way from Butternuts to Omegang, Google Maps kind of led us astray a little bit.
Google Maps wanted us to take a seasonal road that was not really a road. And was not open.
Yeah. Let's just say it would have caused serious damage to the vehicle if we had attempted to take that particular road.
All right, so score 1 for Google Maps.
Yes, it's out there. It's out there. You think Cooperstown is out in the middle of nowhere. Butternuts Brewery takes it to the next level.
Gotcha. And then Brewery Omegang and the Cooperstown Brewing Company are both pretty much within the city limits, just on the outskirts.
They're
5 minutes apart.
Yeah, they're actually both not in Cooperstown. They're in Milford, the town right next door.
I think Omegang is in the town of Cooperstown, and I think that just barely the Cooperstown Brewing Company is in Milford. I'm not exactly sure, though. I'm sure it'd be an interesting discussion about the actual town boundaries.
You're not sure where they are, but you do know that you've been there.
Yes.
Which is the important part.
Yes, and you've been there as well, Tom.
I have. I've been to both Brewery Omegang and Cooperstown. I've not had the chance to get out to Butternuts, but I'm certainly familiar with most of their product, which are, some of my absolute favorites. So what are you gentlemen sampling this evening?
I have the Cooperstown Bench Warmer Porter.
And I have the Pride of Milford, which is also from the Cooperstown Brewing Company.
Excellent. And we should talk about some of the Omegang offerings. Blake, you're a fan of the Abbey Ale, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's because I'm sort of a local, but the Abbey Ale is probably one of my all-time favorites.
Gotcha.
Yeah, from Omegang. But Cooperstown makes another one of my all-time favorites, the Old Slugger, and also the Pride of Milford is another close second to that. Okay. So I'm probably biased, but
of all three, I enjoy picking a favorite from each brewery. Now, I've not had Omegang's Adoration, but the Abbey, the Hennepin are two of the, I guess you could say, staples from them. The Abbey is probably my favorite from Omegang. From Cooperstown, I was going to say Pride of Milford is without a doubt my favorite offering from them. And then from Butternuts, it's kind of a toss-up. I really like the Pork Slap Pale Ale. I also like the IPA from them as well. So there's kind of a toss up there.
Yeah, Matt, how's that bench warmer treating you?
The bench warmer is a very good porter. I like it.
They actually make 7 different beers there, and it seems like they've pretty much when we were visiting, they've decided those are the 7 they're going to make. There wasn't too much new on the horizon when we talked to them, but it's a, you know, kind of why mess with your formula.
Well, they've got they've kind of got it down. They've got a several recipes that are pleasing to just about anybody who has them. I mean, and they have something for everybody already. You know, a diversity of styles. So I can't really blame them.
Yeah, and the Pride of Milford, I mean, this clocks in at about 7.7 ABV. But when you're in the tasting line, at the end of your tour, and you're with a few people, almost always when you get to the Pride of Milford, people are like, oh, wow, I like this. I mean, it's not that the other beers were bad or anything. It's just that the Pride of Milford just kind of gets everyone's attention. It's such a strong beer, but it's so easy to drink.
Yeah.
It could, as they say on the tour, it could really get you in trouble if you don't watch yourself. So
it's another testament to how smooth that particular recipe is, and that comes through. Just exactly what you said. The tasting line is a proof positive of that when you stack it up against some of the other offerings. So tell me about the trip a little bit. Where'd you start? Where'd you finish? And what'd you learn?
Yeah, well, we started off at Butternuts, and maybe Matt, maybe you could share your first impressions of the brewery.
Well, the biggest thing is we knew for a fact. Well, talking to representatives of the brewery when we were at the Tap New York event, that they don't actually do like a brewery tour, or have a tasting room, or anything right now. But when we were at the event, the guy told us, you know, stop out anytime. We'll show you around and stuff. You know, they have no problem showing people the stuff. They just don't kind of have set schedules of tours and have a tasting room yet. Although he's planning on putting a tasting room, and he's hoping for spring or summer of next year to do that. But so we show up, and it's basically a large barn style building that had a sign on it, and there weren't very many cars out front. There was actually no cars.
Yeah, it was a little. When we showed up, we felt a little odd, like we were trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
We could hear something going on inside the building, and I went up, peeked in a couple windows. It sounded like canning was in process, but it couldn't really get a good glimpse of anyone inside. So we were kind of knocked on the door a little bit, no answer. So at that point, we were almost ready to leave.
I'm trying to picture this. The two of you out in the middle of absolute nowhere, walking up to what can only be described as a noisy yet potentially abandoned barn.
And there's like a backhoe, and everything's kind of leveled out around. So it was kind of an impressive scene there.
I see.
But basically, they had a garage door. It went up. The guy came out. You know, said hi to us, and we kind of struck up a conversation with him, and he ended up being the brewer and everything, and he took us in. They weren't brewing anything at the time, but they were doing their canning line. They don't bottle any beers. Butternuts cans all their beers, and we got to see the canning line and everything in action. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I have a question about the canning. So, and I don't know what you guys probably didn't get a chance to really sample anything, because as you said, they don't have a tasting room.
Well, I was hoping you'd toss us a can, but apparently you have to buy those in a store.
Yeah. So I guess the question then is there a difference depending on how fresh the beer is once it's been canned? So the one thing I've noticed about Butternuts, and don't get me wrong, I like the product a lot, but I've noticed that if you get an older six-pack, you get kind of that funny can taste. And I know the cans have come a long way lately, and they're certainly better for keeping light away from the beer. But I've noticed that if you get an older six pack, you definitely get a little bit of that can flavor to it, and that seems to be consistent across all their different styles. So I can't really attribute it to one particular style of their beer.
Now, is that after you pour it into a glass, or is that just drinking from the can?
No, I always pour it into a glass. Yeah,
and you still get the little can.
Just taste. All the time. It's inconsistent, but it's been consistent across styles.
We should set up a blind tasting, really, to see if this is a mental taste coming into your, or if it's real. I mean, I'm not saying you're not tasting it.
No, I totally agree. I think that's a great idea, and I think the next time that we're together and can record something, we should do that. You pour them out and blindfold me.
It'd be interesting. You are very perceptive, though, and very discerning, so maybe you would notice the canning, but maybe not.
Well, I'm always just looking for something to complain about. That's really all it boils down to.
I would guess that depending, the longer it's in the can is probably just like anything. The longer it's on the shelf, unless it's aging,
yep,
probably the fresher the better. So depending on how quickly they turn over their product, I would imagine a fresher, especially their flavor profiles aren't really strong either. So mm-hmm. I would imagine that the fresher the better, especially in the case of butternuts.
Yeah, I think that's wholly fair to say. And like I said, it's been slightly inconsistent in that it seems to be an older six pack has more of this flavor to it. I've certainly had, for example, the Snapperhead IPA. I've had it both ways. I've had a six pack where it tasted kind of off, and I've had a six pack that was crisp, clear, and had that distinctive flavor profile to it. So that's just me espousing my strange views, I guess. But the
considering the size of the operation, which apparently was that guy and mm-hmm. and some woman who was I don't know if she, do you know what she was doing, Matt? There's a woman there.
She was manning the line. I don't know exactly what she was doing on the line, but
I thought maybe she was putting them into the actual six pack holders.
I think that's what she was doing now that you mention it.
Interesting though.
Well, I wish him all the best. His product's great. The only other criticism I have is he's got to fix that website.
They do have a interesting website out there.
Yeah, it's actually really funny the first time you look at it. And, I kind of had fun poking around. But when you go back the second time and you just want to find something out, it's just entirely frustrating, kind of flash-based, and it kind of has a double edge to it.
Yeah, for anybody who's looking for it, it's butternutsbeerandale.com, and the instant you go there, you'll see what we're talking about.
Although it's a fairly good metaphor for the brewery and what you'll see there.
That's true.
And so, if you go, you'll see what we're talking about.
butternutsbeerandale.com. That's where you can check that out. So, from Butternuts, you drove
about we headed
a,
over
half an yep. hour back to Cooperstown, and where'd you wind up next?
Omagang. Omagang.
Oma, however you want to say it. Oma.
And there's still,
I say it differently every time, I think, but I'll go with Omagang this time.
Now, they still operate under the Belgian Duval flag, is that correct?
Yeah, correct. I'm not sure. Another pronunciation, it might be Duval. I don't know. Duval? No. Duval, I don't know.
My pronunciation is probably incorrect. You're probably right.
And the nice thing about when we hit up the brewery is they do their tours on the hour, and we got there probably 15 minutes prior to the hour, and we went into the gift shop. We were just kind of standing around for a while, and they told us to head on into the tasting room. The tasting from the tour that just finished was starting, and so we went in, did the tasting. Before the tour.
Yes. And that always makes your tour more interesting when you do the tasting first. And you wouldn't think of that, but it's actually a great idea, in my opinion. Taste first, then tour.
So that's interesting that they are so lenient about that. So the one time I was there, I don't remember them being strict about anything, but I guess
they went by the rules most every time I've been there.
Yeah.
I think it was because it was a smaller group that was in the tasting room. Sometimes you'll go there and it'll just be that little room will be packed to the gills, the tasting room.
Yeah.
They get a lot of visitors at that brewery. They have, you know, people know about it. It's a great place to visit and people do take advantage of it.
Yeah, and deservedly so. I mean, it really is a class act operation. The fermentation beds are amazing to look at. It just really is truly a very interesting operation to behold.
Yeah, and as Matt was saying, we got to take the tour afterwards. We heard a couple interesting tidbits on that. One being that the brewery has actually just been upgraded to a regional brewery as opposed to a microbrewery. So that means they're bottling more than 2,000 barrels every year. So that's kind of a significant jump.
Wow. That's truly impressive because they weren't doing nearly that previously.
Yeah, and to put it into perspective, another regional brewery that you might be familiar with would be like FX Matt, you know, who makes Saranac, or the High Falls Brewery would both be regional breweries.
And which are both huge operations by comparison.
Right, so they would definitely be on the smaller scale of that, but they actually, excuse me, I said 2,000. It's actually 15,000 barrels of beer a year to be a regional brewery.
Wow, truly impressive. Absolutely impressive. So what, was there anything different about this tour, compared to tours past where you've seen the previous offerings or whatever seasonals they have brewing?
Well, having been on it a few times, I would say it was pretty similar. And at the tasting, I was slightly disappointed because we didn't get to try anything special like the Adoration Ale. They kept it pretty much to the standards. I don't know. What were your thoughts on the tour, Matt?
I liked it. You know, having gone on a whole bunch of brewery tours through a bunch of different breweries, I know how beer, for the most part, is made now. You know, you get that in every tour. They walk you through it all. I like to know more about the history of the brewery and, you know, the things they do differently and things like that. So I try to, you know, ask questions that lead towards, you know, them answering those type questions. And I felt the tour guide was, A, really enthusiastic. He also had worked on, was it bottling and things like that he had done? So he had worked in the brewery, not just as, you know, a tour guide and things like that. So he knew a lot and really gave us a lot of good information.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And actually on our I will correct myself a little bit. On our second tasting, because I wasn't too shy to ask if we could do that again, we actually got to try a they make the Three Philosophers, which is has a cherry flavor to it. And they let us sample one that had been aged 2 years as opposed to a fresh batch. And it was interesting to kind of taste how the flavors had kind of changed.
That's interesting. How did they talk about the aging process at all?
Well, they do. They talked about how when they sell their aged beers, they actually age them in Howe Caverns, which is a very large cave system that is in that region of New York that is a big tourist area. But they actually store beer in the in Howe Caverns to keep it a dark, you know, constant temperature, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, it's absolutely. That's the only brewery of that size that I know that has anything even like that. Not just in New York. I mean, throughout the Northeast, it's just a really, really neat story. It's Brewery Armagang has been such a neat place to go visit. So really high up on I think should be high up on anybody's list to go see. Finally, you guys skipped down the road about, what, 5 minutes or so, and
yep.
Cooperstown Brewing Company was next on your list.
Yep, and we just made the, for there, we just made the tour. We got in, and, you know, the tour was about to start, and we got in, and got to see everything, and vastly different style of, you know, production and things like that.
I was going to say, the Cooperstown Brewing Company, they do not bottle condition, correct?
No. No, they their beer is carbonated through a mechanized process. Also, their beer, whereas Omegang is, you know, Belgian beers, Cooperstown Brewing is more of the more traditional styles, the English styles of beer. And also, they're just really, I don't know, in my mind, they're a lot more down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've gotten that when you've been there, but they're very extremely knowledgeable, and they're just kind of these real people, you know, making a beer business work. And there's something kind of charming in a way about that.
Well, the my last visit out there, I remember the proprietor. Two distinct things that I remember about the our conversation with the proprietor. Number one, he was complaining about how he had to do most of his bottling runs late at night to circumvent some of the higher electricity costs in the area, which I thought,
yeah.
I mean, right there's a look at what a small business has to do to meet the bottom line. I mean, it's just truly impressive that you know, the people are dedicated to go to that length to keep their business profitable. The other tidbit that I took away from our conversation with him was how annoyed he was with some of the people who have gone hop crazy in a lot of the IPAs. Craft brewing has seemed to explode with IPA style beers over the past few years, and he seemed completely annoyed with people who have simply, you know, hopped up traditional recipes and call it something new. And he seemed to take issue with that and wanted to be more to espouse the virtues of a solid recipe from start to finish rather than modifying it like that. So the two things that I thought were really insightful from a small business owner.
And you always get a little bit of that, I think, every time you visit. There's something new going on, you know, they'll complain about, or but in an enlightening way. And it's just kind of interesting.
And most importantly, did the dog meet you at the door?
What, the dog was there. He seemed pretty zonked out, wasn't he?
Yeah, I opened the door and let the cat out, or one of the cats out. So, well, I was like, oh, is he allowed out? And he's like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry. And I was like, oh, good.
It's like, no, get out.
That's
no.
Just another peek at you know, what a small business truly is, especially out in central New York. It's a family business, and you've got the cat and the dog. And,
yep.
You know, you roll up the garage door on your barn and poke your head out, say hello, and that's pretty much how it goes.
And when I was on the tour, I kind of asked, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, are you guys working anything new? Because, you know, every time I go there, it's pretty much the same lineup of beers. Nothing wrong with that. And they're like, no, just we've got our seven. And that's what we do. Although there was one small change. I don't know if the Striker port, was it Striker? Strikeout Stout. They have a Strikeout Stout. But they also have a Striker's
Ale.
Striker's Ale, and that has the one with the sheepdog on it. That is now going to be old sheepdog ale. They're changing the name.
Yeah, they're changing the name.
But
yeah.
But the recipe's staying the same.
Yes.
Yeah, but I just wanted to bring something new to the table.
Well, that's pretty impressive that that's the only thing he's changed in probably the past 10 years.
Probably.
Which is
one thing,
and that's
yeah.
not a knock. That's a credit. That's a credit to him. Absolutely.
Although everyone seemed like they were in a pretty decent mood, so that might be a change. No, yep. I'm just kidding.
But Blake, you can pick up some variety packs and things like that. I got my two growlers filled at Cooperstown, so you know, not only can you just go and take the tour and do a tasting, but you can get, you know, all the, you know, all the beers you want if they have it on tap. You know, you can get the growler fill. They don't always have everything on tap, but they have, you know, three or four at least on tap at all times.
Yeah, and when we're at Butternuts, I'll never forget what the guy said about Omegang's, like, oh yeah, you guys going to Omegang? We're like, yeah, and he says, yeah, they got lots of stuff to sell you over there.
Well, and he's absolutely true, because they...
And I'm like, and why don't you?
He's absolutely right. I mean, they do have the formal gift shop, which you don't find at the other two breweries there. So that's truly funny. That's great. Well, I don't think I have anything else to add. Was there anything you wanted to say to wrap that up? And can you guys wholeheartedly recommend taking a trip out there?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's so much to do in Cooperstown. I mean, most people think of it as just the Baseball Hall of Fame and everything, but there's there's a few wineries. There's the two breweries that are right there. So it is worth a good weekend to head down there and see all the different things they have.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Lots to do, and there's a hard cider at the Fly Creek Mill, which isn't far. So if you check out CooperstownBeverageTrail.com, you'll see a number of drinking options in that area.
Well, truly a great time. Of course, you can always go in the fall, and it's a great foliage ride, and you're guaranteed to have something to do for the whole family. It's a great time out there. So,
and even the breweries have they have root beer and things like that for the kids, and The kids are welcome. It's not an adult-only type thing.
Yep, absolutely. Well, gentlemen, on that note, I think we're going to wrap up this beer break. You can certainly check back for more beer blogging from Blake at thebrewauthority.com.
Yep, that's right, and feel free to follow me on Twitter as well. That's twitter.com/brewauthority.
And with comments or story ideas, don't forget you can send them to Blake, brewauthority@gmail.com. as well. And I think that's going to do it, gentlemen. Glad you had such a good trip out to Cooperstown, and I think we'll end this show. So, cheers.
Cheers.
I'm the day bartender at the Early Bird Saloon, and from 6 o'clock to noon, I pour breakfast for the soaks who can't hold a fork and spoon. I take ham and scrambled egg, then I draw one from the keg and mix them in the blender.
The New York Brew Authority 5-Minute Beer Break is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License 3.0.
Washington and Lout, for the bitter and the stout, and on Sundays there's commute.